How the band formed is quite interesting. I don't know whether you know. John Anderson's a little lad from up the north of England, you know, and he came trotting down to London to seek fame and fortune. And there's a club called the Marquee in London where everybody hang out, and a club called the Speakeasy, which are both still in existence. And John was used to sweep the floors at the Speakeasy. And he was sweeping the floors one night, and the owner of the Speakeasy, a guy called Mario, said to him, "Hey, John." And John said, "Hey, what?" You know, he said, "Dear, you've come down to seek fame and fortune in the gold of the city." And John said, "Hey, I have that." And he said, "Well, there's a bass player at the bar there from a band called Sin that's just broken up, and he's trying to form a band." And that was Chris Squire. And John said, "Oh, hello, Chris." And Chris said, "Hello, John." And he said, "Who do you like?" He said, "Oh, Simon and Garfunkel." And he said, "Oh, great, we'll form a band." And that's dead true. And they got Peter Banks in. Chris knew Peter because he played with Peter, so they got Peter in. They advertised for a drummer. These are two lovely little stories. They advertised for a drummer, and it was all the years, during the years when it wasn't so much how you played, but what equipment you'd got. And they put an ad in the Melody Maker, and Bill asked it, and they said, "Oh, what drum kit you got?" And Bill said, "Nice Premier kit." They said, "Oh, have you?" He said, "Yeah, nice Premier." They said, "Oh, you're in the band then." And it was only after about 6 weeks, when the paint started chipping off the Premier kit, that they realised it was like a real cheap Woolworths kit with the word Premier painted on. You know, they advertised for an organist, and Tony Kaye joined. And they said, "Well, what organ you got?" Tony said, "Well, I've got a Vox Continental." And they said, "Oh, that's not really what we were after." He said, "But I'm getting a Hammond next week." They said, "Are you?" He said, "Yeah." Well, apparently the Hammond was coming for about the next year. You know, never ever came. And that's how the band started. And they shuffled through loads of names, and Peter Banks came up with the name Yes. And that's how it came about. Basically, what happened was that we were sort of we were disagreeing, like incredibly. And at the end, I didn't enjoy the last American tour, and we did a European tour. I'm a great believer that if you've got old material, just because it's old doesn't mean that you should never play it. Because a piece of music should be able to stand up in 20 years' time, 30 years' time. It's very important when you put on a performance, when you put on a show, that there are links between, you know, people can see, perhaps there might be people who have not seen the music before. And I felt it was important for them to hear pieces like Heart of the Sunrise and Long Distance Runaround. And that was basically what the rows were about. And then when we got back to England, we did a European tour. We had band meetings, and first of all, when we were in Boston, I called a meeting. Because that was one thing any of the five of us could do, was call a meeting. And I just called one and said, "I've had enough." Because we're going in, we're just disagreeing. I think we're presenting our music incorrectly. And there was a sort of a hustling around. Everybody said, "Well, look, why don't you, let's see if we can sort something out." And we got back to England, we did a European tour. And I went down to, I got a farm in the west of England, and I went down there where there could be sort of no influence from outside people. And after about 2 weeks, I decided that the best thing for Yes and the best thing for me was if I handed in my notice, you know, and did leave, you know, period. Because otherwise I could see it ending up not only destroying anything that Yes had to offer, but destroying anything I had to offer. 19th century science fiction. The two greatest must be were Jules Verne and H.G. Wells, but the nice difference was that H.G. Wells was more of a novelist. Jules Verne was very much a science fiction prophet. In fact, everything, with the exception of the Journey to the Centre of the Earth book, came true. And if you can, it's very interesting to read the book, any of his books that he wrote, like The Journey to the Moon and 20,000 Leagues, etc. They're interesting to read if you can imagine living in the mid-19th century. Because then it is really quite frightening, because all the things that he said really came true. I chose Journey to the Centre of the Earth was because it was the only book he wrote that didn't come true. And also it's the most colourful book to write to.